like you now to meet David Bellis, who runs a very cool website called Gwulo.com. You're the janitor of the website, aren't you?
That's right. Good morning.
Good to see you. I'll say historian.
That sounds better, doesn't it?
Because you most certainly are. Now, this is basically trinkets from Hong Kong's past, I suppose.
Yes, it's all sorts of odds and ends. It's meant to be. I mean, we use the title Old Hong Kong, so it's really whatever people bring in that they're interested in.
Oh, awesome. Because I've got used to looking up as I go around.
Right.
And it's amazing what you see when you do that.
Yeah.
But I think you've been looking down as well. You were just telling me about things like manhole covers.
Yes, I mean, we go wherever people take us on the website, and someone was writing in about some of the old manhole covers they found. So you might notice there's a few squares with a big R on. Which is the old Rediffusion.
On my way home.
The old Rediffusion when the cable TV was here.
Yeah.
And you find them with sort of Calcutta on, sort of links back to the Empire when the ironworks in Calcutta were sending us the manhole covers.
I love things like this. Of course, we've got the old tunnels and stuff like that, but the little things are really important. You know, I nearly bumped into one of those multi-pronged fire hydrants the other day.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you see a lot of those in Kowloon, and if you follow the path, it's where the planes were flying into Kai Tak, and they were worried about a crash and would need a lot of water.
I believe they did serious drainage and stuff around there. Thankfully, never had to use it.
Yeah.
But they, you know, that flight path, Boundary Street, I believe it was.
Right.
And they did all sorts of stuff. What kind of things do you look for now you're zoned in?
Well, we look for, all sorts of things. Around mid-levels, you can often find little ghostly images of old buildings where they've knocked two buildings down at different times. And so an old one, when it was knocked down, you just see the outline left on the side of a new one. That's what you see if you look up. You find these old hexagonal fire hydrants.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little symbol of something a bit older, the old street names.
I suppose all the post boxes have gone.
There's one just popped up, the Conservancy Association, I think they're called, something like that.
Mm.
Around Western District. They've got one from somewhere. I was surprised. A bright red old post box has just popped up.
Interesting you mentioned street names, because just below Kane Road is all the Rizal history, or the Filipino fellow who used to live here, and Redneck Cell Terrace and places like that. So there's like sub historical cultures.
Yes, there's been a good book came out recently. It's Billy Seller. He did all about the different street names and a little bit of history behind.
Yeah. How long has your website been going?
Well, the first article we wrote probably about 5 years ago, and that was actually for a different website. And over time, it snowballed, and we've been going for about 2 years as Gwulo.com.
So people just chuck stuff your way?
Yes, it's great. If it was just me going, it'd take forever, but luckily there's some people with good photo collections that like sharing.
Good memories, too, actually.
And good memories, that helps. And people doing their own little bits of research. And we're starting now to pull in, if I just read you an email, I was just checking.
Please.
We got one this morning coming on the website. My grandfather was Daniel Jaffe, after whom Jaffe Road was named. He was a special engineer working for the government on the Titan Reservoir in 1918.
Mm.
So I've got historical photos of him. The building team, the opening ceremony, are you interested in me posting them? So, of course, the answer is going to be yes, please.
GWULO.com. If you've got your computer in front of you, check it out. There's tons of stuff on it. Not all the street names are named after governors. There's some really interesting ones. I mean, Jaffe, obviously.
Right. And over in Causeway Bay, there's a Jones Street, which I've never looked at, but I've always wondered who that's after. It's kind of a more ordinary sort of name.
Somebody Welsh.
Probably.
What has been the most fascinating area for you to get into?
I must admit, I'm a bit partial to the tunnels.
Yeah.
So the thing that started me off, the very first article, was going into Kowloon Park one day by a different route, and there's these bricked-up arches. And they're the old, after a bit of research, they're the old air raid tunnels that run under the park there.
Can you get into many of these? Because I know some guys do tours, but probably only in a handful of tunnels, I suppose.
No, they all seem to be bricked up and blocked off.
Mm.
There's a company that goes in once a year and just does a clean out and a maintenance, but not open to the public.
I wonder what's left down there. I mean, sometimes, Singapore, there's an exhibition, and they've got all the, obviously it wouldn't be here, but
yes.
They've rebuilt the whole thing with the British officers down there.
Yes, it's great. I wish they'd do something like that here.
It would be nice, but it sort of goes against the grain these days, doesn't it? I mean, certain people don't like to talk about those days.
Yes, that's bad.
But let's face it, it was Hong Kong guys who risked their lives as well. Let's be honest.
Mm. Well, there's another set of tunnels which we're just learning about, and they're the Japanese tunnels. And they're something we know very little about. You stumble across them in the hillsides.
What sort of places?
There's a large set under Jardine's Lookout.
Oh, yeah.
It's several tunnels, and it opens up into kind of caverns inside. So obviously a lot of work went into it. And we're guessing it was to do with towards the end of the Japanese occupation, and they were preparing to sort of a guerrilla defense or last-ditch defense.
Mm.
But I haven't found any description of why they were there.
Are they a little bit more sort of high-tech, I suppose?
No, they're complete opposite.
Or just very different?
Well, the Erig ones are all made out of concrete. You know, they're all very well prepared. Mm. These ones are just hacked out the soil, I guess, with a sharp tool. So you, when you go inside, it's all rough rock, and you can see the marks still from where people dug into it in the clay.
Mm.
They're very narrow. Sometimes you crouch, sometimes you crawl, sometimes you have to get down and wiggle along on your tummy. So.
I've actually been lucky enough to meet some guys who've written. They've all had a specialty. I mean, mm-hmm. one guy who was here recently has written a book about the big cemetery in Happy Valley.
Right.
With all, and we were talking about, you know, certain kinds of trees that only grow there, etc., mm. etc. Have you looked into that side of things?
That's something that we're interested in. We're getting a lot more interest now from people who are researching family history.
Right.
And it came with the Japanese occupation, a lot of paper records being destroyed. Gravestones, you know, fantastic. They've got a lot of information, so. Yes, I'm hoping to have some more information about that this year, where we can make it more easy to search online for people's records.
Okay, what about some of the buildings that we still have standing by a you know, hair, if you like? I mean, you know, Central Nick, the police officer's buildings. Mm-hmm. Are there any sort of interesting bits and pieces you've garnered about these buildings that we all know?
Well, I like the story about, I think it's the Legco building.
Okay.
There's a couple of stories came from that. There was one, it was when they were planning the new City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And someone writing in at the time was saying, well, you know, at least let's not have a disaster like the Legco building, something as ugly as that one, just showing how fashions change over the time, because we're all pretty glad.
Have you driven
here.
Along across yeah. the road recently?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the City Hall, was it 68, 69?
Something like early, that. I think, yeah.
A bit I mean, that early, was, yeah. Even that looks like a concrete sort of...
It looks horrible now, but I'm sure at the time they were very proud of it.
State of the art. I mean, there are, if you look around, some amazing examples of... indicative architecture in Hong Kong.
Yeah, yeah, there's all sorts. What a funny stories. I like the fuss about the, was it the Heritage Building, the old Marine Police Headquarters in Tsim Sha Tsui. And a lot of people very disappointed that the hillside got cut away in mm. front of it. Mm. And just a few months back, looking in the National Archive, came up with this plan of the proposed route for the railway. The original railway station was supposed to be where they cut away all that land, so maybe we're actually getting back to history rather than messing it up, as a lot of people think.
Well, some people think that the sort of romantic notions of history do actually belong in the past.
Yes.
You know, I believe that when the Star Ferry that was recently trashed mm-hmm. was first built, people were saying, blinking eyesore,
yes.
We don't need that, and, you know, here we are all these years later, and everybody loved it.
Yeah, it's always, I think, what's in our recent memories and memories of our childhood, those are the things that are so precious, so mm. we hate to see them changed.
Do you get into sort of marine stuff at all? Do you do ships and boats and stuff?
Not personally. Something I'd love to know more about.
Mm.
Often we're asked about old photos and ways to date them. And, you know, when was this taken? Where was it taken? So if we could learn more about, well, here's a ship, looking at it, how old is it, that would be a great help.
Okay, so it's gwulo.com. Tons of places to go. Where do you reckon we should start?
On here. Let's have a look at the 1845 map. I'm sure you've got the link for that.
I'll find it in a minute. Don't worry. But that's, so, I mean, we're thinking about wartime stuff, but, you know, you're going way before, 1845.
Yeah.
Things that stand out on that for you.
That's, I think the big surprise to me was how familiar it looks. Of course, all the layout of the very oldest part of Central was already set by then. You know, we're still paying the price for all those narrow little roads that they built, not expecting there to be two-way traffic and not expecting there to be the number of people there are now.
What was the definitive shoreline? Was it Gloucester Road or did it go back further?
No, it's back further. It was Queen's Road.
Queen's Road.
Yes. So
amazing when you walk down there now, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes. You couldn't imagine it. There's this was from another historian. He was telling me, you know where Central Market is, the old Central Market, and the road slopes down and then it comes to a little flat bit?
Yep.
It's just that point where it goes from flat to slope.
That was the water.
That's where it hit the water, yes.
Blimey. So you watch The World of Susie Wong and that whole long shot at the beginning when mm-hmm. he's trying to chatter up and draw her. I mean, that journey takes ages. Apparently it was two-thirds wider then than it is now.
Yes, yes, for sure.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. No, just a walk. If we walk straight back from the coastline to Queen's Road, I mean, that's history in itself. You can just, you know, watch the development over.
That's a good five, seven yes. minute walk, isn't it? Amazing how it's changed. Do you get down to the south side of the island? Don't hear much about that sort of, about the obvious things, Repulse Bay, etc.
Yeah. Obviously, there's less there, but there's history too. Stanley's got a huge amount of wartime history. There's a very interesting group that look into the history of the Stanley internment camp that was there. And remarkably, still some people alive who were interned there. There's one lady who's got a fantastic memory and can still tell you about people that were in camp with her in the 40s.
Mm.
Incredible.
A couple of documentaries about that on TV. I mean, it's horrible times.
Definitely.
So I'm sure, you know, local people being sometimes superstitious or whatever won't really want to go there, if you like, won't they?
Yes, well, that's a shame in a lot of ways, though, because I'm sure that generation, you know, unfortunately, is coming to the end of their lives for many people, and we're losing all those memories and experiences.
Horrible memories for some of them. I mean, you know, I remember my grandfather never even once mentioned the war, and I think a lot of people share that too.
Yeah, no, my dad too. It's only after they're gone that you wish you'd asked more questions and found out more.
Mm.
I mean, take the Japanese tunnels. I'm sure they were dug by local people. And I'd love to hear from people if there's anyone out there who's got any stories to tell or memories from their family.
Actually, let's join some dots here. What are you sort of missing? What sort of things are you interested in finding out more about from readers?
Right. We've got a lady has written in recently from England, and her husband was here in his national service at the Victoria Barracks, and he served in something called GINT, which is something to do with intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And he could never talk about it because it was under the National Secrets Act.
Mm.
And unfortunately, he's passed away, and she's curious to know what he was doing there.
GINT.
GINT, yeah. G in a space and INT in inverted commas. So.
Intelligence, I suppose. I guess there's nothing about it on the web, of course.
Couldn't find anything, so if anyone's got any clues there, that would be great.
Oh, what's your email then, maybe? Or is it all on the website?
Yeah, it's david@gulo.com, so nice and easy.
Nice one. Really interesting stuff. If anybody's listening and they've got a few things to share with David, do write to him or get in touch with me, and I'll pass it on. Thank you very much.
Thank you.